Thank you, Mike. That's a great message for moms today. I want to encourage you to know motherhood's got its challenges, amen? And that God will carry you through those things. Hey, this morning, I would like all of our mothers to stand. Would you stand this morning? And guys, here's your opportunity. Show them how much you appreciate them this morning, amen? Hey, we're so grateful for all of our moms that are here with us today. Thank you for being mom. Thank you for being the lady that God's created you to be. At the end of our service today, some of our deacons will be at the exit points, and we'll have roses for you to take home with you today. And I think we have plenty to go around. I'm going to ask you if you would just take one. And hopefully we have enough left over that I can give Rhonda a dozen roses for Mother's Day. And help me out a little bit, okay? Now, we want to make sure we share with everyone. See, I know why y'all think I'm crazy sometimes. So, have your Bibles with you this morning. I want to invite you to find a place with me in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings in the 4th chapter. When early in seminary, I had a professor tell us one day, he shared with us, he said, you know, I'm so thankful that I'm not pastoring and preaching at a church today. He said, when I was a pastor, we're talking about himself, he said, when I was a pastor, he said, I was the only preacher that my people knew. He said, so when I came to preach on Sunday mornings, man, they just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. He said, but you guys, he said, your people are listening to Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers. They're listening to all these guys, David Jeremiah. They're listening to all these wonderful preachers all week on television. And then they're coming to church and listening to you go, okay, what have you got today? And so it's a lot of pressure on being a preacher today. Well, I feel that about mothers this morning. Moms, there's a lot of pressure on being a mother. Today, you're not just judged by Miss Jones who lives down the street. You know, that the people get on social media, and even you as ladies, you get on social media. And you're trying to be the very best mom you can be. You're trying to be the best lady that you can be, the best wife that you can be. And then you get on social media, and they've got all these pictures and all these images of all these other moms. And you're thinking, I don't look like that. I can't dress like that. And then you've got all these moms sharing all these special recipes and showing all these dishes that they made. And you're thinking, I can't cook like that. And I can't dress like that. My house doesn't look that neat and pretty all the time. And I just want to reassure you this morning, everything you read and see on social media is not true. Okay, ladies? Don't think that you have to live up to all those images that you see on social media today. And so, you know, we gather here today to honor the name of Mother again, and to honor you. And I want to try to share with you and encourage with you some words this morning. Again, early when I was preaching, and even sometimes today, I'll make eye contact with my wife down here, and she'll be looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I assure you this morning, she's going to give me that look a number of times. Because I'm going to talk about mothers, and she's going to look at me and go, what do you know about being a mother? So ladies, I get it, okay? I get it. I'm not a mother. You are. You understand it better than anybody in the room, okay? But I want to try to help this morning and give you some words of encouragement. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, we see a story that, an account that maybe you're familiar with. It's the account of Elijah and how Elijah went to this woman and how she ministered to him with this oil, and they poured the oil and they were able to save the family and that sort of thing. But notice, I want you to see in verse 8. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was, notice this, a notable woman. And she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. Now, I want you to see this description of this woman here. It says that she is a notable woman. That's what it says in the New King James. If you have a New International Version, it says a well-to-do woman. In the Apologetic Study Bible, it says that she is a prominent woman. There's a pretty contemporary version of the Bible called The Message, and it says that she is a leading lady of the town. If you're one of those, and this morning you've got the King James, it says that she is a great woman, right? She's a great woman. In the Arabic, it says that she is a woman eminent for piety before God, of great wealth and riches, of great benevolence and hospitality, and of great grace and piety that feared sin. That's a whole lot in it, right? So when we read that passage and we see that she's a great woman, or that we see that she's a notable woman, understand the depth of that meaning. That this lady is one of great wealth and riches, of great benevolence and hospitality, of great grace and piety, and she is a God-fearing lady, a woman of great credit and reputation in every measure. And this morning, that's a great description of moms. And that would be hard to live up to for any woman, right? But I want you to notice, even this woman, who is described as a great woman, still has some challenges. And so we want to walk through the scripture this morning. So notice, first of all, this mother's toil. Even though she is a notable woman, it says there in verse 9, and she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes, he can turn in there." So this woman, she recognizes Elijah as this prophet of God, and she says, "Hey, when he comes by here, let's make a room for him. Let's take care of him. Let's give him a bed to sleep in. Let's give him food to eat. Let's minister to him." It's the heart of a mother to take care of an orphan, right? That's really what she sees somebody in need, and she says, "We need to help them." That's the heart of this mother. And it really speaks to a mother's toil, to the work of a mom. All that a mom does. Guys, listen to me this morning. This is for you. You need to understand, moms work hard. Don't be like the guy I heard about one day came in and his wife was sitting there on the couch. He said, "Well, what have you done all day?" Well, don't ever make that mistake, okay, guys? Because you may come in the next day and realize what all she hasn't done, okay? A mother works hard. Now, I'm just kind of a curious kind of guy, so I did a little research on this. And every year, salary.com calculates the salary value for mothers. They survey thousands of moms, and they find out what moms are doing, and then they give a dollar value to the work that mom does. So they take these jobs and they look at them. They look at laundry, and they look at what it is to be a janitor or a custodian. They look at the pay for a van driver, for housekeepers, for computer operators. They look to see what it costs to have a cook, and they look and they see what they pay for the average daycare workers and all those kind of things. And what a tutor would cost for kids for school. They look at plant managers, facility managers, and they look at their salary, and psychologists, and they look at CFOs of companies, you know, the chief financial officers and all that, and they calculate what the price of a mom is, and they came up in 2019 with a sum salary of $178,201. I didn't know you ladies made that much. My wife's been holding out. She needs to share some of that money with me, right? Hey, that's a lot of money, right, guys? It speaks to the value and to the work that a mom puts in. Listen, a mom who works outside the home 40 hours a week and then comes home and still does all of that as a part-time job, the value of that is $76,184. That's pretty good money for a part-time gig, right? Again, it speaks to the work of a mom. And then you consider the vacation package. Moms have a great vacation package, right? There is no time off for mom, right? When you go on vacation, mom's got to do double duty, right? She's still got to take care of everything. So by and large, mothers and housewives are the only workers who do not have regular time off. They are considered the great vacationless class. Thank you, mom, for all that you do, right? The Bible speaks to the work and the toil of a mother. Over in Proverbs chapter 31, if you want to kind of follow along with me this morning, Proverbs 31, it says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is what? Far above rubies. Her worth is far above rubies. And when you read through this, it says that she does her husband good. She seeks wool and flax. And she willingly works with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night to provide food for her household. Ladies, that means that she gets up before daylight. She gets up before anybody else in the house. And she has breakfast ready for them when they get up. That'd been a good time for some of you ladies to say, "Oh me?" That's not happening, right? But that's how the Bible describes this woman. Again, all of the work that goes into being a mother. One of my favorite kind of silly shows to watch sometimes is Dennis the Menace. If you have the right free television, you can watch that. And so we still watch Dennis the Menace sometimes. And one of the episodes, Dennis the Menace comes in and he tells his friend Joey, he says, "I don't know what I'll do if my mom gets too old to tie my shoes." Right? Man, what are we going to do? I heard one fellow called his grandmother, and he said, "Grandma," he said, "Mom's sick, and there's nobody here to take care of me and Dad." Right? Man, we don't need moms to be on sick leave. They've got work to do. And so this morning, moms, I want you to hear this. Guys, let's understand. Mom's work is hard work, right? Mom's work is hard work. It's the mother's toil. But then he also describes a mother's trouble. Notice what this passage goes on to say here in verse 14. So they build him a room, and he comes by often. And so it kind of picks up there in verse 14. It says, and so he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." And so Elijah says, "Call her." And so he called her, and she stood there in the doorway. And Elijah said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she says to Elijah, "Oh, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." She's thinking, this is impossible. This can't happen. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her. And the child grew. And now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And so he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid on him on the bed, the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. This mother had not asked this man of God for any favor. And this man of God had offered this mother a gift of a child. And I understand this morning. I understand this morning to some degree the heart of a mother and the desire to be a mother. I can't fully grasp that, but I understand just from hearing women and the struggles of that. And so here's this lady, and she goes through this period of time to have God answer a lifelong prayer maybe, and now she has this child, only to have a child die. We know it's not natural for parents to bury their children, right? It's supposed to be the other way around, right? It's the most difficult thing that parents go through when they lose a child. Listen, when I read these verses, I realize motherhood is not for sissies. Amen? And so this Mother's Day can be very stressful for moms, for women. Women who have not been able to have children. Women who have had children, only to have those children pass away. Many mothers' hearts are broken this morning because their children are living in sin or turn their back on the ways of God. Listen, a godly mother so much wants the best for each of her children, and she is grieved when children are not living up to their desires. And so all of that creates great trouble for a mother's heart. Beyond the toil, it's just the troubles that mothers experience in life. I came across this quote recently. It said, a mother is the bank where her family deposits all their fears and all their worries. Whatever your children's concerns are, those are the concerns of the mother. You see, a mother doesn't only carry their own heartbreaks and their own heartaches. A mother carries all of their children's heartaches and heartbreaks as well. And it adds to the troubles of that mother. There's an organization called Unlocking the Bible. They did a survey back a couple of years ago. And they found asking Christian mothers to identify their top five worries. Moms, see if you identify. These are the top five worries. Number five is faith. Mothers say, I worry that my kids won't embrace their faith and make it the highest priority in their lives. Moms want their children to know Christ like they do. Another concern is competence. They wonder if I've prepared my children to face the outside world. You know, the Bible says that children are like an arrow. And a man is blessed if he's got a quiver full of them. But when you think about that analogy about that arrow, when you take an arrow and you put it on that bow, it's like an arrow, and you have to pull that arrow back. But there comes a point in time of tension when you have to release the arrow. Man, that's a great struggle for moms, for dads alike, amen? To release that arrow. You've worked on it. You've tried to make the point sharp. You've tried to whittle it down to where it's straight, where it'll fly true. But there comes that moment when you've got to release the arrow. And all you can do then is just pray God that it hits the mark, right? It's a great concern for moms that they've adequately prepared their children to leave the nest. Another concern moms have is marriage. Man, to pray that their children would find the right spouse. Man, I'm so thankful this morning that through the years, Ron and I have prayed for our children that God would put them with godly spouses. And spouses that would love them and take care of them and all those kind of things. And I'm grateful this morning for our son-in-law and our daughter-in-law that God's answered that prayer. But there's a lot of parents today. A lot of parents today are concerned about the person that their kids are dating or who they might marry. And, you know, I know Miss Brenda for years wondered, why in the world did God not answer my prayer? Why did she allow him, you know, to marry my daughter? You know? But that's a great concern for moms today. Another concern is health. Moms say, I fear their mental and physical well-being. Man, moms want their children to be taken care of. They want them to be healthy and happy and all those kind of things. And number one is safety. It says, I worry about my children driving carefully. I worry about the children's physical safety. I worry about raising a child in today's world of violence. I'm afraid that something or someone will hurt him or her. I worry about bullying. All of these things that trouble a mom. You see, the trouble of a child troubles a mother. Mother's prayers are often heard because they're the prayers of true intercessors. They identify themselves with the children. Through my years of pastoring, the most common prayer request I have is from parents in regards to their children. I've literally had parents who were struggling with some terminal illness or whatever it might be, but their prayer would be, pray for my kids. Pray for my, I'll be all right, preacher. I love the Lord. I know the Lord loves me, but preacher, pray for my kids. That's the prayer. Here's a few words in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 15 verse 20 says, a wise father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. In Proverbs 19 verse 26, it says, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. We need to understand that sometimes the greatest source of our mom's trouble and heartbreak is us, as their children. The best gift you can give your mother this Mother's Day, Proverbs 23 verse 25, let your father and your mother be glad. How's that? And let her who bore you rejoice. The best thing you can do for your mother this Mother's Day is live your life in a way that your mother can be proud of you. But moms, for the struggles and for the trouble in life, just as Mike sung this morning, I want you to know there's a God that you can trust. Amen? We sung that song, It Is Well With My Soul. When that song title popped up, I leaned over to Rhonda and I said, I requested this for you today for Mother's Day. It's her favorite song. And I knew that when I saw the title. I wasn't smart enough to request it, but I was thankful that God worked it out. And she said, did you really? I said, nope. But it speaks to the heart of a mother. We've had so many times, so many conversations in our life. All I want for my wife is for her to be happy. And there's been some times when she was not happy. And I would say, are you happy? And she would say, it's well with my soul. And I don't understand all the troubles that moms have in life. But mom, I want you to know this morning, there's a God you can trust. And you can say, it is well with my soul, even in the face of troubles. This lady, she experiences, and we see the toils of a mother. We see the troubles of a mother. But she also demonstrates to us the trust of a mother. Notice what this passage goes on to say here in verse 22. In verse 22 it says, then she called to her husband and she said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. And so he said, where are you going to him today? Or why are you going to him today? And he said, it is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Isn't that good? It is well. And then she saddled a donkey and she said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and she went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant, Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now and meet her and say to her, Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Her son is at home dead. And she says, it is well. How can a mother with a child that's lying lifeless say, it is well? It's only because she has great trust in God. It says there in verse 27, now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she called him by the feet, but Gehazi came near and pushed her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. Even in the midst of this great distress, she can say it is still well. And the Lord has hidden it from me as it has not been told to me. So she said, did I ask a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. And if you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And so Gehazi goes and he goes to the house and he lays there on the child. And nothing happens, the scripture says. And then when Elijah came into the house there in verse 32, he came into the house where the child was laying dead on his bed, and he went in there and he shut the door behind the two of them and he prayed to the Lord. I've often wondered, why did Elijah go in the room by himself and close the door and not let the mother in? Because what Elijah was fixing to do was only between him and God. And so Elijah goes into the room and he prays and he went up and he lay on the child and he put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands and he stretched himself out on the child and the flesh of the child became warm and he returned and he walked back and forth in the house again and he went up and he stretched himself out on him again and then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and he said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground, and she picked up her son and went out. God had honored the trust of that mother. Man, I've seen so many times how God has honored the prayers of a righteous mother. I think about Jochebed, the mother of Moses. When the Pharaoh had ordered that all of the little Hebrew boys would be killed, and Moses' mother takes and makes this little basket and puts Moses in it, places it in the river, trusting that God was going to take care of him. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, how God had told her so many things about her child, and she believed them. She trusted God for all of those things. I think about Sarah, the mother of Isaac. I think this is a great encouraging verses that she laughed when she heard that God said, you're going to have a child. She laughed. Because she had little faith. But yet her faith was big enough to land her into the Hall of Fame of Faith. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She didn't have much faith, but she knew God was faithful. Moms, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is when you get in the times of your life where your faith is weak, when your faith is absent, when your faith is worn out, I want you to know this morning, when you have no faith, He is still faithful. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him. Don't give up, Mom. You keep praying. Don't give in. You keep praying. See, the measurement of God's faith is a mustard seed. And if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move those mountains. And this verse speaks to a mother's triumph. How God in the end answers her prayer. God gives her the victory. Nothing had stopped this mother. And she experienced God giving life back to her son again. Moms, this morning, keep working. Endure the pain. Keep the faith, and then enjoy the victory. Enjoy the victory. The victory is in Christ Jesus, no matter what. Moms, I know it's hard. I can't imagine the difficulties. Can't imagine the disappointments of a mother. There's something special between the bond of a mother and her child. But moms, this morning, know that you have a heavenly Father who understands, who loves you, and who is faithful to give you those victories. Amen. Let's pray this morning. This morning, I want us just to take this opportunity to pray for you moms. I don't want to embarrass anyone. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But Mom, this morning, maybe you can identify with this noble woman, this notable lady. And you can say, yes, man. Preacher, right now, I'm just going through some hard times, man. This is hard work, physically, emotionally. Man, I'm just about to give out. Would you just pray that God give me strength to persevere? Would that be your prayer this morning? Would you just say, preacher, would you just pray for me? Would you just simply slip your hand up this morning? Man, Mom's work is hard work. Amen? Maybe this morning you're that mom who says, it's not just the physical toll. Man, I'm troubled in my spirit today. Man, I have a great burden. Maybe for your children, or maybe it's because your children are burdened. But this morning you say, preacher, would you just pray for me? Man, my heart is troubled. Would you pray for me today, preacher? Would you just slip your hand up? Maybe that's your prayer. Amen? Okay? Maybe this morning you're that mom who says, you know what, preacher? I know God is faithful, but right now, I just don't know how much faith I have. God, preacher, would you just pray for me today that I could trust God no matter what? Would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you this morning, that you could just have that trust of just the faith of a mustard seed. Would you just slip your hand up? Amen. Amen. Maybe you're that mom this morning, you say, preacher, I just want to praise God because I withstood the pain, I did the hard work, I trusted God, and I can tell all these other ladies this morning, hey, it's real. God will give you the victory. Can you just give God praise this morning? Would you just raise your hand and say yes, thank you. Thank you, God, for giving me victory. Amen. Amen. Man, we're so grateful this morning. So grateful today. Father God, this morning I come humbled in your presence. God, not being a mother, I count it a great joy and privilege to come and intercede on behalf of moms today. And God, today for those moms, God, they're just tired. God, they've not had a vacation. And God, it doesn't look like they're ever going to get one. God, I ask you today, God, that you would just breathe into them just a fresh breath, a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. God, that you would just give them strength to persevere. God, give them the ability just to do the work another day today. God, some of those mothers are thinking, I can't make it another day. But God, you be the strength for them to make it one more day. God, we'll worry about tomorrow. God, we just need strength for today. God, I pray today for those moms. God, they're troubled in their spirit. God, they're burdened for their children. God, there's a spiritual wound that they have for their kids. And God, I pray that today children would know, God, that right now, as only you can, Holy Spirit, that you would speak into the hearts of children. God, that their mothers love them and their mothers love you. And God, their mothers just simply want them to love you as well. God, to be a worshiper and a follower of Christ. And so, God, today I pray for those mothers. And I pray, God, you'd hear the cries and the groans of those mothers. And God, that you would answer their prayers today. God, I pray for those mothers today whose faith is weak. And God, I pray that even in their weak faith, God, they would experience your great faithfulness. God, today they could just trust you. God, no matter what the difficulties are, God, in their soul they could say, it is well. God, I thank you today. God, for the victories. God, for the triumphs that you allow moms to experience. God, for the hands that have been raised across this sanctuary this morning testifying. God, some of those moms raised their hand. Yes, they're tired. God, some of those moms raised their hands and said, yes, we're troubled. Some of those moms raised their hands and said, yes, Lord, we're struggling to trust. But God, some of those same moms raised their hands and said, yeah, but I still had victory as well. So God, I thank you today for the victories that we have in Christ Jesus. God, I pray today that you'd open the windows of heaven. And God, that you would pour out your richest blessings on moms today. God, we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, we love you. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Moms, I pray God's blessings on you today. For those this morning that have never come to the point place in your life where you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a mom who's trying to do this thing all on your own strength and power. I want you to know this morning there's a God who loves you. A God who knows the difficulties. And a God who came to die on the cross for your sins. So that you could have an intimate personal love relationship with him. So that he could come along beside you and walk with you and help you through this morning. And there's no way to be the mom without Christ. So this morning, would you just simply come to Christ? And this morning, how many this morning, your mother has been praying for you. Your mom has been praying for you. That you would just give your heart and life to Christ. Commit your life to being a follower and worshiper of Christ. There is no greater gift you could give your mom this morning than to give your heart to Christ. Would you come this morning? This morning, Brother Mike's going to come lead us in a hymn of invitation. This is your opportunity to respond. Maybe some of you guys this morning want to just take mom by the hand and come to the altar and just pray and thank God for mom and pray over mom this morning. You feel free. The altars are open. Would you come this morning? As we stand to sing, you come right now. Don't wait. You come. Come this morning. Come now. God, here it is. Just give it all over to him. All your worries, all your concerns, all your burdens, all your sins, just lay them on him this morning. This morning again, moms, I pray that today is the best day of the year for you. I pray you get all the special treatment that you deserve today and even more, okay? Guys, you got a lot of making up to do. You just treat her right today, right? And so, but I pray that you'll have a great, great, great day today. So we got some guys up here at our exit points, and moms, you come by and pick up a rose on your way out, and just know today that we love you and we appreciate you. And our love and our appreciation for you will last longer than those roses, okay? Just remember that, okay? We're thankful for you being here today. Hey, guests, Thank you for watching online. Thank you for listening on the radio today. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being with Mom today and making this a special day. And I pray that you'll come back with us and make every day, make every Lord's Day a special day for Mom by worshiping together. Okay? Hey, we got a couple of things that are going on coming up here at Trinity. We've got Vacation Bible School that'll be coming up in like less than a month or about a month, the first week of June. And so we're looking for folks to help us out. And so if you've just been procrastinating, not signing up yet, I want to encourage you to do so and be a part of that. Also, if you're looking to get involved, you want to kind of get to know us a little better. And you know, that's hard to do sometimes when you come in on Sunday mornings and just sit here together. You don't really get to talk, get to know each other sometimes. On Sunday nights, we have small groups. We have several different small groups that meet on Sunday nights. And next Sunday night is going to be kind of a different night. We're going to be getting together and we're going to be eating and just fellowshipping and hanging out together. And so, hey, what better way to get in on the group, right? Come the first night, eat for free and all those kind of things. So we'd love to have folks in some of our small groups. And over the next few weeks and through the summer, we're going to be doing some mission projects. And so going out to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So we'd love to have you come be a part of what God's doing here and be a part of the family here at Trinity Baptist Church. So if you're looking for a church home, we want to invite you to come be a part of this, okay? Hey, have a great, great rest of the day, moms. Be pampered all that you can. Hey, let's sing something this morning.
We are the family of
God. We are the family of God. That's a good one to leave on this morning.